All right, so wow, like some seriously interesting stuff has landed on our desk this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a collection of info that points to like major shifts happening within the government.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching I don't know, maybe like a tectonic plate shift, but in, the government.
You know, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What's really eye-catching is how these things that seem at first like totally separate, you know,
Right.
like a block payment over here, a legal challenge over there,
Yeah.
and then like, oh, look, a whole department might get restructured,
Yeah.
but they're all like connected.
Yeah, totally. They're like threads in this I don't know, this big tapestry of change or something,
Exactly. It's a narrative
Yeah.
and it's unfolding right in front of us, like in real time.
Totally. And you and I, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Our listeners want to, cut through all the
Of
noise,
course.
all the BS, all the, the spin, and really understand what's actually going on, right?
Absolutely. Get to the heart of it.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do today, right?
That's right.
We're zeroing in on all this crazy activity around the Department of Government Efficiency.
You mean DOG?
CREO-GE, exactly. I love that that name is sticking.
Me too. It's catchy.
It is. It's catchy, and it kind of tells you everything you need to know, right?
Right to the point.
Yeah. And we're also going to look at some other moves, related to how the government spends our money.
Ah, yes, the budget.
The budget, exactly, and how the whole thing is structured, like who has the power to do what.
Right, the nuts and bolts of it all.
The nuts and bolts, exactly. And
You know, I think it's fascinating, by the way, how that acronym, that DOGE,
yeah.
it's like it's really caught on, you know, it's
Huh?
become part of the conversation.
It has. It's like it's almost like it reflects like a certain feeling in the air right now.
A zeitgeist. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. A zeitgeist. You always have the perfect word.
Well, it's just that the adoption of that name, it really speaks volumes about, you know, how people are thinking about this whole initiative.
Totally, totally. And you have been busy, my friend. You have been sifting through a mountain of information for us.
Well, someone has to do it.
I know, but I appreciate it. Seriously. News articles, social media chatter, summaries of all the key
Oh,
events.
from just the last couple of days, too.
Yeah, March 19th and 20th, 2025. It's like a little time capsule of government action,
A snapshot in time. Yeah, it's very immediate,
Yeah.
almost granular.
Granular, yes. I love that word.
Well, it gives us a close-up view, you know, of these developments as they actually happen.
I love it. Okay, so our mission, should we choose to accept it, is
Yeah.
to unpack all of this,
Right.
distill it down to like the absolute key takeaways.
The essence of it.
Yeah, and then connect the dots in a way that, gives you, our listener, the big picture.
Without overwhelming you with all the, you know, the tiny details.
Yes, exactly. We don't want you to feel like you've just like mainline a government textbook.
No textbook reading here.
No, absolutely not. All right, so let's jump in, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, DOGE, they've been making waves,
Oh, they have.
especially when it comes to,
Money?
the financial side of things.
Yes, exactly. And it looks like they reportedly blocked a pretty big payment.
Yeah, that's right. The reports are saying a $52 million payment.
Wow, that's a lot of zeros.
It is, and it was supposedly meant for the World Economic Forum.
The
The
WEF.
WEF, yeah, and this was reportedly blocked on March 20th.
Okay, so right in the middle of all this other stuff that we're going to be talking
The
about.
thick of it.
Yeah, and this is telling, you know, it says a lot.
It does. It says a lot about their priorities,
Their priorities, exactly. What they care about, what they're focused on.
And it seems like the internet was buzzing about this.
Oh yeah, it was all over social media.
Yeah, and at TubeDoge, you know them. Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
They were one of the first to highlight it, actually.
Okay, so they were like on top of this.
They were, and you know, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, why?
Because think about it, it aligns perfectly with DOGE's whole, you know, their public image.
Right, like efficiency, cutting costs.
Exactly. They want to be seen as the fiscally responsible ones.
The adults in the room.
Right, exactly. So scrutinizing these big expenditures, you know,
Yeah.
that's totally in line with their stated mission.
Totally. And it sends a message, right?
Oh yeah, big one.
Like we're not just throwing money around anymore.
Right, we're watching every dollar.
Exactly. And we can't forget about Elon Musk and all of this.
Oh, of course not. He's the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Yeah, and his involvement definitely adds a certain, I don't know, a certain flavor to all of this.
Dynamism, perhaps?
Dynamism. Yes, that's the word, dynamism.
He's a force of nature.
He is. He really is. But, you know, one thing I do want to mention. It's important to remember that, at least according to what we've seen,
yeah.
official confirmation from DOGE, like on their website, you know,
Doge.gov.
Doge.gov, thank you, wasn't available like within the time frame we're looking at.
That's a good point, a very important distinction.
Yeah, because, you know, social media is great.
Well, it's fast.
It's vast. It's exciting.
But it's not always accurate.
Exactly. So official confirmation is always best, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
The gold standard.
The gold standard, yes. Okay, so DOGE, they're flexing their financial muscles. Let's move on, you know?
What's next?
Let's talk about who's actually running the show, the leadership, the operational side of things.
Ah, the people behind the curtain.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really interesting.
Oh, I love the intrigue.
So there's this New York Times article from March 20th.
Okay, so I saw that one.
You did? Okay, good. And it basically points to Steve Davis.
Elon Musk's right-hand man.
Yes, exactly. As the, like, the de facto leader of DOGE.
The power behind the throne.
Right. He's the one calling the shots, and he's wielding a lot of power.
Sounds like a direct line of command.
Yeah, very direct. And according to these reports, this guy Davis, he's like a whirlwind of activity.
Really?
Yeah. He's been pushing the Social Security Administration for access to all their data.
Oh, wow. That's ambitious.
It ain't controversial, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
He's also been sending his people into like all sorts of different federal agencies.
Like an occupying force.
Kind of, yeah. He's laying the groundwork for some serious cost cutting.
So he's really shaking things up.
Oh, yeah. And he's reportedly slashing diversity initiatives left and right.
Wow. He's not wasting any time.
Nope. Not at all. And this is a lot, you know, to tackle all at once.
It is a bold strategy for sure.
It is. And it suggests a very, very proactive, very aggressive approach to, you know, remaking the government.
It's not about making small changes.
No, it's about rapid transformation, like ripping off the Band-Aid.
A complete overhaul.
Yeah, exactly. And get this. He's been meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
Making the rounds.
Yep. And he even sent out this email. It's called Fork in the Road.
I heard about that. What a name.
I know, right? And it's basically like, you know, get on board or get out of the way.
It's pretty blunt.
Yeah. Not your typical government memo.
No, not at all. You know, that kind of communication.
Yeah.
It's really not normal in government. It suggests like a real lack of trust in the people who are already there.
The bureaucrats.
The bureaucrats. Yeah. And it seems like he wants to replace them quickly.
With people who, you know, are on board with DOGE's vision, right?
Exactly. People who share their goals.
Yeah. And, you know, this could create some friction.
Oh, definitely. Internal struggles, power struggles, and, you know,
yeah,
potentially even a loss of important knowledge because.
Yeah, because the people who know how things work.
They're the ones being pushed out.
They're being shown the door. Yeah. And then there's this little detail about Davis and Nicole Hollander. They've got their own little setup.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Over at the General Services Administration.
With their own security detail, too, right?
Yeah, their own security detail, which is kind of interesting.
It is. It suggests that they're dealing with some sensitive stuff.
Or maybe they're just anticipating some pushback.
Right. Or maybe they're already getting it, you know? Who knows?
Yeah. And then, of course, we have Elon Musk's wonderful analogy.
Oh, yes. That was colorful.
He compared Davis to, get this, Chemotherapy. Chemotherapy for the government.
Wow, that's quite an image.
I know, right? Talk about a strong statement.
It's a bit harsh, but, you know, I think I get what he's saying.
What do you think he means?
Well, it's like he sees all the waste and inefficiency in the government.
Yeah.
And he thinks Davis is the tough medicine needed to fix it.
The cure. The painful but necessary cure.
Exactly. It's like, it might be unpleasant, but in the end, it'll be good for you.
Right. I mean, he definitely doesn't shy away from strong opinions.
No, he doesn't. That's for sure.
Okay. So with all this going on, all this action.
Yeah.
It's not surprising that DOGE has, you know, hit a few snags.
Legal snags.
Legal snags. Yes, exactly. Let's talk about the whole Social Security data thing.
Okay. That's a big one.
Yeah. Because this is where, you know, things get a little tricky.
It highlights the tension between, you know, what the executive branch wants to do.
Yeah.
And what the courts say they can do.
The checks and balances.
Exactly. Okay. The checks and balances.
Okay. So on March 20th, we have U.S. District Judge Ellen Hollander.
Okay.
She issued a temporary block.
A block.
Yeah, basically preventing DOGE from accessing Social Security Administration systems.
So they can't get the data they want.
Nope, not for now. And this is a big deal, you
Yeah,
know?
it's a significant setback for DOGE.
It is. And Judge Hollander, she didn't mince words, you know?
What'd you say?
She cited potential privacy law violations, and she even called DOGE's actions a fishing
A
expedition.
fishing expedition.
Yeah, basically saying they're just, you know, casting a wide net and hoping to catch something.
Without a clear idea of what they're looking for.
Exactly. And she said they didn't have enough justification for wanting all this data.
So she's concerned about the scope of their request.
Yeah, and about their methods, you know.
She thinks they're overreaching.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And she also expressed concerns about security risks, which is, you know, not insignificant.
Right, that's a big deal when you're talking about Social Security data.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is something that often comes up in these kinds of situations.
What's that?
Well, Judge Hollander, she was appointed by President Obama.
Ah, okay. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, and so predictably, some people are crying foul, you know, saying this is all politically motivated.
Right, dude, it's all about bias.
Exactly. But, you know, at the end of the day, we should really focus on the legal reasoning behind the ruling.
The facts of the case.
Yeah, the facts of the case, not the politics, but, you know, politics is always going to be part of the conversation.
It is, unfortunately.
It is. So anyway, this temporary block, it comes with some conditions for DOGE.
Oh, really? What kind of conditions?
Well, first of all, they have to delete any personal data they've already gotten.
Okay, so they have to like undo what they've already done.
Yeah, basically. And then if they want access to this data in the future,
Yeah.
they can only get redacted data, you know, with the personal information removed.
Okay, so that limits their ability to, really dig into the data.
It does. And they also have to do mandatory training and background checks for their personnel.
So more hoops to jump through.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a big change from what they initially wanted. You know, they wanted it all,
The whole enchilada?
the whole enchilada, yes. And now they have to be much more careful, much more privacy conscious.
It's going to slow them down.
It probably will, yeah. And, you know, this whole thing, it's blown up online.
Oh, I bet.
You've got influencers like at MAGA Voice, they're calling for Judge Hollander's impeachment.
Wow, that's extreme.
It is. And then you've got at Unusual Whales, they're just reporting the news, you know, straight from the AP.
Okay, so a mix of reactions.
Yeah, a real mix. Some people are outraged, some people are just, you know,
That
observing.
shows how polarizing this whole DOGE thing is,
It really does. People are either totally for it or totally against it.
No middle ground.
Nope, not much middle ground at all. Okay, so DOGE is shaking things up, but they're not the only ones, you know.
Oh. What else is going on?
Well, let's switch gears and talk about President Trump and his administration.
Okay, what have they been up to?
Well, they've frozen federal funds for the University of Pennsylvania.
The University of Pennsylvania. Wow, why?
It's a big deal, $175 million.
That's a lot of money. What's the reason?
Well, it all comes down to their decision to allow Leah Thomas, a transgender swimmer, to compete on the women's team.
Ah, that's been a very controversial issue.
It has, and the administration is saying this is a violation of Title IX.
The law about sex discrimination in education.
Exactly. And they're also pointing to President Trump's executive order on the matter.
So they're taking a very clear stance on this.
Oh, yeah. They're basically saying, you know, we're not going to fund schools that allow this kind of thing.
And they're backing it up with action, not just words.
Exactly. And a White House official, they gave a statement, you know, explaining their concerns.
What do they say?
Well, they talked about overturned records in women's swimming, and they brought up the whole locker room access issue.
Right. That's been a big part of the debate.
It has. And then, of course, we have President Trump himself. He weighed in on social media.
What did he say?
Promises made, promises kept.
Short and to the point.
Classic Trump, right? So this is not just a symbolic gesture.
No, it has real teeth.
Yeah, there's a full-blown investigation going on, and UPenn could lose all of its federal funding.
All of it.
Yeah,
That's.
it is. It's a huge risk for them, and it shows you how seriously the administration is taking this.
They're not messing around.
No, not at all. And this is just one example, you know, of the kind of actions we're seeing.
So what else is happening?
Well, there's talk of even bigger structural changes.
Really? Like what?
President Trump is apparently getting ready to sign an executive order
Okay.
that would abolish the entire Department of
A
Education.
whole department. Wow, that's a major move.
It is. It's something that some conservatives have been pushing for a long time.
Right. They want less federal involvement in education.
Exactly. They want more local control. And, you know, Congressman Thomas Massie, he was all over this.
Oh, I bet he was thrilled.
He posted Bravo on social media and he referenced his own bill, H.R. 899, which, you know, aims to do the same thing.
Abolish the Department of
All
Education.
of shit. Yeah. And it looks like they might actually have a way to do this, you know, through budget reconciliation.
Budget reconciliation, what's that?
It's this process that allows them to make certain changes with a simple majority in the Senate.
So they could bypass the need for 60 votes.
Exactly. It's a way to get around the filibuster, basically.
That's clever if they can pull it off.
Yeah, it's a pretty savvy move. And this all ties into, you know, how the Department of Education spends its money.
Which is a lot of money, right?
Oh, yeah, $280 billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B. And the claim is that less than 25% of that actually goes to educating kids.
Where does the rest of it go?
Well, that's the big question, right?
Yeah.
Some people say it gets lost in this web of bureaucracy and NGOs.
NGOs, those non-governmental organizations.
Yeah, and the implication is that some of these NGOs, they're pushing a certain agenda,
A political agenda.
political agenda. Yeah, and
Yeah.
you know, Representative Harriet Hagman, she didn't hold
What
back.
did she say?
She called it money laundering and money churning.
Wow, that's a strong accusation.
It is, but it reflects a very critical view of how the government spends money on education.
Right, the argument is that a lot of this money is being wasted.
Wasted or, you know, used for purposes that people might not agree with.
Right, that's the real concern.
Yeah, and this brings us back to DOGE, you know?
Oh, so.
Well, some people are saying that this is a big part of the reason why Democrats are so opposed to DOGE.
Interesting. Why?
They see it as a threat to their revenue streams.
Ah, I see. They're worried about losing control of the money.
Exactly. And this is all part of a bigger power struggle, you know?
A battle for control.
Yeah, a battle for control. And it's not just about education, it's about
The
everything.
whole government.
The whole government. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of legal battles,
Yeah.
there's all this stuff going on with President Trump's firings of those FTC commissioners.
Oh, right. That was a while ago.
It was, but it's still playing out in the courts. And you've got these former Democratic commissioners, Alvaro Bedoya and Rebecca Slaughter.
Okay.
They're claiming these were illegal
So
firings.
they're challenging the president's authority.
Exactly. And this raises some really fundamental questions, you know, about executive power.
Right, like who can the president fire, who can't they fire?
Exactly. And who decides that?
It's a question of checks and balances again.
Again, yeah. And it all boils down to this, you know, who has the final say on hiring and firing within the executive branch?
It's a core principle.
A core principle, yeah. And it's being actively challenged right now.
Which creates a lot of uncertainty.
It does. And that uncertainty can really, you know, it can make it hard for the government to function effectively.
Especially when it comes to implementing new policies.
Exactly. And it's not just former officials who are pushing back, you know, the Department of Justice. They're getting involved too.
Really, what are they doing?
Well, they're pushing back against a judge, Judge Boasberg.
Okay.
He's been asking a lot of questions about the expulsion of Venezuelan gang members.
Right, that was a controversial move.
It was. And the DOJ, they're calling his inquiries digressive micromanagement.
Suggestive micromanagement.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're saying he's overstepping his bounds.
They're saying he's meddling.
Yeah, meddling in things that are the president's responsibility, especially when it comes to national security.
So they're asserting executive privilege.
Exactly. They're saying, you know, back off. This is our turf.
It's a power struggle.
A power struggle. Yeah. And then there's the whole U.S. side situation.
Oh, right. What's the latest there?
Well, Judge Theodore Chuang, he ruled against shutting it down.
So USAID is still operating.
For now, yeah. But even in this case, DOGE's influence is being felt.
How so?
Well, Judge Chuang, he specifically challenged Elon Musk's role in DOGE, you know, because he hasn't been officially appointed by Congress.
Right, he's not a government official.
Exactly. And this is another example of, you know, these checks and balances, the push and pull between different branches of government.
It's a fascinating dynamic.
It is. But then on the other hand, you have Jeremy Lewin, who comes from DOGE.
Okay.
He was just appointed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
To a position at USAI.
Yeah, he's now the Deputy Administrator for Policy and Programs and COO at USAID.
Wow. So even though they're facing legal challenges,
Yeah.
they're still finding ways to, you know, to implement their idea.
Exactly. They're like water. You know, they find a way around obstacles.
They're adaptable.
Very adaptable. Okay, so big picture time.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have. A lot of moving parts.
So many moving parts, but I think there's a clear pattern emerging, right?
What do you see?
Well, DoDE, they're on the move. They're cutting costs. They're trying to get their hands on a ton of data.
And they're facing pushback, a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. From judges, from other parts of the government, from people who feel threatened by their agenda.
It's a real battle.
It is. And then at the same time, you've got these big moves happening with federal funding for universities.
Right, and the potential restructuring of entire departments.
Yeah, like education, maybe even US-eyed, and all of this is happening against a backdrop of, you know, legal challenges and political infighting.
It's a very turbulent time.
It is. It's exciting. It's a little scary, but it's definitely not boring.
No, not at all. It's history in the making.
It is. And hopefully, you know, you, our listener, you've gotten a much clearer understanding of all of this from our deep dive.
More than just reading the headlines, right?
Yeah, because we've connected the dots. We've shown you how all these things are related.
And hopefully it's given you a better sense of what's at stake.
Exactly, because this is about more than just efficiency. You know?
It's about power.
It is. It's about who controls the government, who controls the money, who gets to decide how things are run.
And in the end, it's about how all of this affects you, the listener, you know?
Yeah. Your life, your wallet, your future.
Exactly. So what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah. I mean, with DOGE being so aggressive,
yeah,
and with all this pushback they're getting,
mm-hmm,
how do you think this is all going to play out? You know, these power struggles.
That's a great question.
Between the executive branch, the courts, all these institutions.
Yeah, how will it reshape the government?
Exactly. Will it make things more efficient, or will it just create more chaos?
I don't know. It's a real nail biter, but I think we can all agree on one thing.
That's that.
This is going to be one heck of a ride.
Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a bumpy one.
That's right. And that's all the time we have for today. But don't forget to subscribe.
And tell your friends.
Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Let's get this conversation going.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. And if you're feeling generous, you know, we always appreciate a little donation.
Every little bit helps.
It does. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the mics hot.
And it helps us keep bringing you this kind of in-depth analysis.
Exactly. So until next time, stay informed, stay engaged.
And stay skeptical.
And stay skeptical. I love it. All right. We'll see you soon.
See you later.